Now, I'll be repeating this over and over and over and over again. The quality of the decisions made in youth determines the person you will be in older age. The quality of the decisions of youth, and frankly, I am not addressing these concepts this morning to old people. It's probably too late for you. I'm addressing this as a message to young people, because so often we don't realize that we are building today for everything we're going to be in the future. And consequently, some important concepts need to be in front of us. And we'll list them. And hopefully I'll be able to convince you who are young that you need to get going. What is the basic preparation for old age? Each one of these points will be a separate idea. Preparation for old age. And for that, let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. The primary example of preparation for old age is a man. He's named Caleb. In chapter 13, we come down to verse 25, where the land has been spied out, and the spies have returned, and they've given a very encouraging report about the land, and a very discouraging report about the people that live in the land. And so if you come down to 13, verse 25, when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, now notice this report, it is both encouraging and discouraging. They proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told them and said, and here is a very encouraging report, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. And that's very encouraging. However, encouraging news is occasionally wrecked by an additional word. And the additional word is translated nevertheless, or but. Everything is just as God promised, but the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And this becomes very disquieting to the people. And we're talking now of a population of something like 2 million. And as the people hear the report, we have verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people. Apparently the message that was brought back creates hubbub in Israel. And it said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who were with him said, we are not able to go against this people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, and the people decide, we cannot do it. Now, the exception is this man, Caleb. And if we put some of the narrative together, we can find out that at this point, Caleb was about 45 years old. Biblically speaking, that's relatively an old man. To some of you, that's relatively a young man. For some of you, 45 is so far over the hill that you can hardly see them. But nonetheless, we're going to see this man believing at age 45 that God can and will give them the land. Caleb has a characteristic. If there's a problem and a promise, he always sees the promise. He was one in a million, literally one in a million, that had that kind of mental attitude. Now, if you'll turn over to Numbers, the same book, Numbers chapter 14, and verse 11, and though we've turned only one page in the life of this man, we have covered 40 years. Because between their coming into the land and his saying, we can take it, and chapter 14, 40 years. So the man who was 45 and in that stage of his life said, God promised it, God will give it, we believe him, has now passed 40 years in his life. And notice in chapter 14, verse 11, you have a statement made by Caleb, and that statement is, at this stage of the game, at this point in life, we are still able to take it. And I said Numbers, try Joshua, I'm sorry, Joshua 14. We're still going only a matter of 40 years. Joshua 11. I'll get it together. Joshua 14, verse 11. And as 40 years are covered, Caleb says as follows, I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war, for going out, and for coming in. And what distinguished Caleb from everybody else? His mental attitude of faith. And I can say nothing more fundamental than if you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 20, 22, 35, whatever. The most single important thing about your life is your mental attitude toward the Word of God. If you learn to believe it, to hold to it, to rest in it, it can, I believe, literally keep you young. And Caleb is a prime example of that. Now, there's one other thing that is said repeatedly of this man, and it's found in Numbers 32, 11 and 12. He not only believed the Lord, so here's the man who at 45 said, we can do it. We just believe God and take it. And everybody says, we can't do it. One in a million. 40 years pass. He says, I'm 85 years right now, and I'm ready to go to war and take it again. Mental attitude. Now, one other thing is said several times of this man, Caleb, and we have it in chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. None of them which came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham. Notice, here are some 20-year-old young people that were dead in the water. Why? Their mental attitude. None of them who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, for they did not follow me fully except Caleb. And you might want to note that the same words, followed me fully, is used of Caleb in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 36 also. So you have at least a double emphasis. This man had a mental attitude that believed the Lord's promises. Nobody else, and he believed that against great odds. And we need to realize that if you are going to identify with the Word of God, you're up against tremendous odds. How many people do you have that you associate with day by day and week by week who believe this to be the very Word of God? Do you have a lot of support at school? Do you have a lot of support from your high school teachers encouraging you to believe God's Word? encouraging that this is what it claims to be, the very Word of God. Do you get much help? I hope when I ask the next question, the answer will be yes. Do you get any help at home? Do you get any help from your relatives? From your friends? From your co-workers? By and large, if you're going to operate on the basis of the Word of God, you must make a decision. I'm willing to go it alone. Because the support simply is not there, never has been, and therefore you are going to have to be one in a million, much like Caleb was in this context. All right, that's preparation. Preparation for you, for old age then, was found by Caleb in two ways. Mental attitude toward the Word, or mental attitude to God's promise. He maintained faith in it for 40 years. And second, a full committal or a full following of the Lord. Number one would center in attitude, and number two would center more in the action that he took. He believed the Word, he molded about the Word, he acted upon it, and therefore was prepared for old age. Now, let's move to a prayer for old age. And while I write, if you will turn, please, to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And if you are in the young category, and I know you don't want to be preached at, but let me tell you something. You will get old so fast that you won't know what happened to you. You will get old so fast you will not know what happened to you. Now, I know you don't believe that because you come at a point in life when other people die, but I will never die. Other people get old, but not. Well, I will not get old. It goes so fast. Just met a couple of friends that were. Was it Kansas City? It was Calvary Bible College at that time. The Worths. I remember this guy in class, and that's been 35 years. Hard to believe it has gone all that fast. But just note that and recognize that if you're young, every day is ever so important. Every day to walk with the Lord, to believe His Word, to develop a mental attitude. Because you can say this for sure. Every bad characteristic that you have in your life that is uncorrected by the Word will just make you a little uglier old person. You know, age is not automatically beauty. It should be, because if you are selfish at age 20, 25, 30, guess what you'll be at 50? You'll be an expert in selfishness. You will have built everything in your life around yourself and will be miserable. So take the advice. Now notice chapter 71 of the Psalm divides into three parts, I believe. And it does so on the basis of a past, present, future type arrangement. The past, present, future outline. And it revolves in this way. 71, 1 through 8 is his past. 71, 9 through 16 is his present. And 71, 17 through 24 is the future. And notice that it all revolves about his mental attitude of faith. Chapter 71, his past, 1 through 8. In thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. And so forth and so forth. And notice in verse 5, he is looking back. He's expressed his confidence, his belief, his faith in the Lord and his word. For thou, verse 5, art my hope, O Lord, thou art my confidence from my youth. Notice he's looking back at his past, and he says, you're my confidence, or the primary feature of his past was his faith. And remember, faith can never be disassociated from its object. His faith in the Word of God and the promise of God and the character of God. However, if you will come down to 71 and verse 9, you have some of the concerns of old age. Now, I said at this point, we're going to be talking to young people, but at this point, let me give you something here that I think you'll identify with immediately about some of the concerns of old age, and they are three. Number one, let's just put this down as concerns of age. Number one, and anyone that's in this category will agree with me, what are your major concerns with aging? How about this one? Declining strength. Declining strength. You just cannot do what you once did. And notice this is his concern. Looking at verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. So 71:9 is declining strength problem. Second, what is another problem that would naturally be involved either, and you know this either from experience or you could look ahead and guess it will happen. Don't you see a lot of old people who fear and fear legitimately being abandoned? Well, notice that's his concern. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. So concerns are declining strength, two, being alone, abandoned. And why would that be a concern? Because you get to a certain point in life when you get up in the morning, and believe it or not, one of the first things you begin to look at in the newspaper is what? You begin to look at the old bits. And you say, look at that fella. He died at age 52. I'm 59. And you begin to count on your fingers. Well, there, when you give those ages, and they begin to close in. And therefore, you will lose a husband. You lose a wife. Many of your friends are in the old bits now. And you're beginning to lose things. And being alone is a concern, and this is part of his prayer in this section. Don't you also, as you get older, fear being victimized? Being victimized, was that part of the psalmist's fear? Well, look down at verses 10 and 11. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Take advantage of him. Pursue him and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. And notice, all of these things are set forth as his concerns. However, the psalmist knows certain things. He knows that there are certain things that never change. And these are things that I can occupy myself with and I can do until I draw my last breath. What are they? What are the things that old age can never, ever, ever take away from you? Well, notice verse 14 and 15. Three things. But as for me, I will hope continually. Number one, what can he do in his old age? He can trust. That can never be taken from you. He can manifest a Caleb attitude. Verse 14, he can trust. But he can do more than that. Verse 14, I can trust. As for me, I'll hope continually. Number two, I will and praise thee yet more and more. He can grow. Get that more and more? He can trust and he can grow. And for that, simply note the praise, more and more. He can grow. Or is it true that when you're 65, you're retired, and God says, 2 Peter 3:18, no longer applies to you. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. How long is that verse good for? It is good until we draw our very last breath. He can trust, he can grow, but continuing on in the verse, and notice verse 15, what else he can do? My mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. He can, number three, he can witness. Those things never change. Until the day we die, we can witness. Until the day we die, we can grow. And until the day we die, we can trust. And those are three healthy characteristics. So that is the prayer then of old age. Now, what is the support of age? What is the support of old age? And turn, please, to Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. The support of old age. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Change is probably the most predominant feature of old age. Your body changes, always for the worse. It takes more cover-up or makeup, whichever you want to call it, cover-up or makeup. And therefore you begin to see change. Your eyesight fails. Your hearing may get worse. And this is all inevitable. But notice, in the midst of this, there is a promise that there is something that does not change. Verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. This is Yahweh, or the Lord, speaking. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, you have been born by me from birth. The decisions, the walk of youth determines the quality of age. You have been carried from the womb even to your old age. Notice it pictures a life of continual fellowship with the Lord. Even to your old age, and you can put in all the those you want to, though your eyes fail, though your hearing fails, though your body fails, I shall be the same. And therefore, wherever we are in life, we have built in a constant, and the constant is God himself. Verse 4, even to your old age, I shall be the same, and even to your graying hairs, I shall bear you. I have done it. I shall carry you. I shall bear you. I shall deliver you. So notice the support of old age is God is my constant. God is my constant. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. What does age then have to do with our relationship to God. It has nothing to do with it. His relationship to us is always the same, and the only thing that we can do that would destroy that is have a non-Caleb attitude. And the non-Caleb attitude is one of pessimism, and this man up until 85 was says, come on, let's go fight and take the land. It is ours. All right, the support of old age, Isaiah 46. The fruit of old age. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. Psalm 92, beginning at verse 12. Now notice the psalmist in this section uses some imagery. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. By the way, the word for palm tree in Hebrew describes a particular type of palm tree that's the date-bearing type. And there are records of these palm trees bearing as much as 600 pounds of fruit in one season. So notice he certainly has in mind the idea of great fruitfulness, productivity. The righteous man will flourish and produce lavishly like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And notice the important thing there is his fellowship with the Lord. Planted, verse 13, in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord for us is roughly equivalent to a life of fellowship. When David says he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, what does he mean by that? Well, association with the temple was association with God. And to dwell in the temple forever was to dwell in the presence of God forever. So in this is sort of Old Testament terminology for what we call a walk with the Lord, walking by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, or a life of faith. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. So the thrust here, fruit of old age, it never ceases. Never ceases. And I know I'll get in conflict on this, but do you see why I often say there's nothing more detestable than retirement? Now, maybe you don't fix the same nuts and bolts that you used to. But for crying out loud, there is no reason for any believer ever retiring. Can you imagine? Do you know where Paul spent his last years? In the Oddfellows home, rocking in a chair, right? Now, this guy spent his last years in jail preaching the gospel as fervently as ever before. Now, that doesn't mean that, and I'm not talking about people who work at a certain profession and they stop doing it and get retirement benefits. That's fine. But so often, people who retire, retire from life. I'm too old to. Or don't go out in the cold, you might get a cold. Or something of that sort. And we shrivel up into little nothings instead of continuing to grow. Please notice verse 14. They will still yield fruit in old age. And I love this next one. They shall be full of sap. Well, that would be interpretation out of context. The sap is the idea of vitality. And is very green, they declare the Lord's upright. And notice the key to it is not even physical health. The key to it is back in verse 12. The righteous man. The man who grows is the key that is involved. It's a peril. And we should say something about the peril of old age. And for that, turn to Ecclesiastes 4:13. Now here's a different direction that we can go in old age. It's not the will of God, and it can be prevented. It says, a poor yet wise youth, lad, is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. Notice, first of all, you have an implication very clearly here that the old and foolish king once listened to truth, but he quit. He retired from learning. He retired from accepting instruction and therefore is very foolish. And notice in the context that we can establish several things. One, you can be old but not mature. Old but not mature. Remember, a child will often throw a tantrum, and they throw their tantrums loud and obviously and flop on the floor. What do most people learn to do? Refine your tantrums. You don't flop on the floor anymore, you do other things. And it's all the same thing, really. It's a tantrum. But we're pitching one, and therefore are old and perhaps more disguised and more refined, but there is no maturity. Two, the peril of old age is stopping learning. Stopping learning. It's a peril. And notice in this particular context, he has a... Someone want to give me a saying that's very common, but it flies in the face of this verse, and it enunciates the sin of stopping learning. Why don't you know? You can't teach. You got it. Isn't it amazing how much is in our minds that is pure human viewpoint? Purely unbiblical, purely contrast, and the old dog that can't learn no tricks is a fool. Now that doesn't mean if you're 89 you start your training for a marathon. Obviously you're not going to make it, you're not going to do it. Probably, I wouldn't want to say definitely not, but probably not. But if we let this come over into, oh, I can't think anymore, my mind doesn't work anymore, you got to force it. And I don't know whether it's going to help any, but just to share an experience. Betty does a crossword puzzle in the morning and at evening. Now, I don't think you said it's because you love them so much. As it is, keep this thing over here turning. Keep that mind alert. And you have to put effort to it, because the trend is away from that, and you have to keep learning. So those are two perils: growing old but not mature, and stopping learning. All right? The secret of old age. Secret of old age. Be patient. I only have 32 more points. Proverbs 10 and verse 27. Proverbs 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, Does your mental attitude have anything to do with your lifespan? Well, the fear of the Lord is an attitude. And remember, there's fear fright and there's fear respect. This is fear respect. It's the one that Proverbs uses as the beginning of wisdom. And it means to respect. And I would not hesitate to translate it that way. The respect for the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Now, we need to be very careful on this because this is not a guarantee. But it does say this, that your mental attitude and the way you think has some bearing on your health. Would you agree with that, Dan? Mental attitude. Now, this doesn't mean if you have some terrible disease that you think right and you'll get over it. We're not saying that. We're saying there is a bearing. And the bearing is mental attitude. In this context, it's a mental attitude that bears on life. I doubt if we really know if from youth we really honored and respected the Lord, what we might be. And don't if you got a pain in your side, go on a guilt trip. But can you stop and think for just a moment at your age, whatever it is, what you might have been if you'd made some different decisions? All kinds of them. Marriage decisions, this kind of decision, that kind of decision. And if those decisions had been regulated by a respect for the Lord and a respect for His Word, how different some of us might be? No, how different all of us might be. All right? Finally, culmination. Culmination of old age. Now, one of the interesting things we can do, and we'll do it this morning in closing, is take a look at some of the dying words of people who walked with God in Scripture, and let's go to the first one, Genesis 25. Verse 8. Genesis 25 and verse 8. The culmination of old age is death. And that is not grim, because notice Abraham. Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, or actually good is the Hebrew word, in a good old age, an old man satisfied with life, and he was gathered to his people. He did not go out with a groan. He went out having said, I've been satisfied with life, and I'm sure that doesn't mean Abraham, like all of us, didn't have some regrets. But it does mean, as he looks back on life, the general pattern, I believe God down in Ur, He led me here, He led me there, He tested me here, He tested me there, and I am satisfied with life. And he was gathered to his people. Chapter 35 of the same book, verse 29. And I turn to this one because it's so similar to the one we just looked at, that it shows that there was sort of a pattern about dying. And I think it's fair to say, do we in America die well or do we not die well? Do we dig in and fight it to the very end, or do we have a clear concept in our mind that part of God's plan for life is our death? And there is a time. And, you know, these men in the Old Testament, it's almost as though they controlled it. What does Jacob do? Calls his sons in, blesses them all, goes out, and does what? He died. Just as though He controlled the moment. And we'll find a little bit more of that also in the New Testament. But look at Genesis 35:29. Isaac breathed his last and died. And by the way, notice the scripture is straight. It doesn't say he breathed his last and passed. He breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people, an old man of ripe age, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. 1 Chronicles 29:28. And here is a word about David. And notice, it is the same thing that was used elsewhere. Then he died in a good old age. And notice again, the words old. Get the word? Old? No. Senior citizens. That's okay. But, you know, there is reality. And old is old. And died is died. Then he died. And again, we could again revise it. Then he passed as a good old senior citizen. No, then he died in a ripe old age, full of days. Doesn't that imply the full of days, a sense of completeness that is there? Full of days, riches and honor. That's nice. And his son Solomon reigned in his place. Closing the New Testament, 2 Timothy 4. You know, I believe you can establish that the activity in terms of preaching and the activity in terms of seeking to honor the Lord and caring for the churches, the older Paul got, the harder he worked. And I think if you put his entire life together in a chronological sequence, you can establish that. The older he got, the harder he worked. But notice, he knows when to let go. Chapter 4, verse 6. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Greek word, exodus. The time of my exodus has come. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. And don't you have a strong indication there that there was a pattern, a set of works that Paul was to do? And when he was done with those prescribed works by God, he died? So I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but all those who have loved his appearance. Then what's the next verse? The guy that's about to die says, make every effort to come to me soon. And as Paul passes out of life, only Luke is with him, and he is abandoned. But is he down? He is anything but down. Look at 1 Peter. This passage just came to me, so let's make it 2 Peter. I thought it was 1 Peter. Old age. Here's testimony of Peter. And verse 12, therefore I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you, and I consider it right as long as I am in this earthly dwelling. Notice, he did not retire from his service to the Lord. As long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, or we might put it in an English idiom, as long as I have a breath to breathe, I'll stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of this, my earthly building, is imminent. And he's not fighting it, is he? He's saying, in the light of my imminent death, what do I need to do? I need to keep repeating the old truth and doing it over and over and over. And I close by saying this, and I realize it might fall on somewhat deaf ears, but if you're 12 years old, if you're 8 years old, what you are going to be at 21, 31, 41, 81, and 101 is being determined by your response to the Word of God today. And therefore, we're preparing for that age. It's amazing, we prepare for funerals. I've never understood, to me, the thought of spending my money now on my funeral is abhorrent. I can't even conceive of that. I'd prefer to leave David and Greg with the problem of what to do with the old man. But one thing for sure, I do not have a plot. I don't think. No plot? Yeah, Betty says no plot. No plot, no plan. Don't have time to plan. I've got too much to do right now in life to squeeze out all of the important things in serving the Lord that are there. And you don't have to worry about dying, because I feel pretty good this morning and I think I'll be here tonight. If not, so long. But and now, our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you give us youth when we can begin to make those important decisions in relating to you, in terms of our salvation, in relating to your word and your promises. Help us to learn to do this every day, and as we grow older, we'll not be older, we'll be more mature in our Christian walk with thee. In Christ's name, amen.